Hi, everybody. My name is Corey Sanders. I'm the director of Compute in Azure, and I'm here to give you an overview of the Azure platform, focusing on a few specific areas. I know originally Scott was going to give this session. I'm not wearing a red shirt, but I did bring my red hat, so it's a good one. As I go through this session, one thing that I will ask of you, as I talk, as I make jokes, you know, please feel free to laugh very loudly. If there's anything that's really exciting, break out into applause. Any of these things are going to be fine. The only thing I will request is please don't curse at me while I'm talking. I already dealt with that a little bit on my cab ride over. He did not like the mayor of London really at all. So let me charge forward here. So what I wanted to spend time talking about was the all-up story on Azure. And let me start with kind of the focal point that we have when we look at Azure. We really focus on three areas. I'm going to come down here. We focus on three areas: hyperscale, hybrid, and enterprise proven as sort of the three critical areas when we look at Azure and how it can compete in the market and why it's going to be great for you. So let me just dig in a little bit on hyperscale. You saw a few of these stats from Scott this morning. Some of the really exciting ones, obviously the 2 trillion events each month is a really exciting stat for us, showing kind of the growth that we're seeing of some of the IoT work on the platform. Some of the other ones that are really, really exciting, obviously 1.5 million databases running in Azure. And then this middle one, which Scott didn't show this morning, 1 out of 4 VMs on Azure are Linux VMs, which is really, really exciting to see the amount of application development happening on both sides of the platform, and something that we continue to culture across the entire stack, and I'll spend some time talking about that later. Scott showed this as well, the regional growth. He actually said 26, but as of this morning, we've announced 2 more planned in Germany. So now we're actually up to 28 regions available, 2 in the UK and 2 in Germany were announced just this week. So it's pretty exciting to see that growth. And as Scott mentioned, more than both Google and Amazon combined. To make this possible at this type of hyperscale, we've actually got 1.4 million miles of fiber between our DCs to connect them all. A huge amount of interconnectivity to make this possible and make this platform run. It's one of the things that, starting in software, I never expected to be in so many meetings talking about dirt as I do now. We talk about dirt density and dirt moisture, and it's just a huge amount about dirt. And so it's one of the things that taking software and bringing it into infrastructure and bringing it into platform deployment, dirt is an important factor, apparently. Outside of hyperscale, enterprise proven is something we really, really focus on, making sure this platform is going to be fantastic for enterprise deployments. Over 80% of Fortune 500 customers are using the Microsoft Cloud in some way, shape, or form across a wide variety of applications and solutions. Alaska Airlines is running their ticketing system on us. We have Toyota running a big SharePoint farm on us. And Jet.com, which is a new e-commerce site in the States, is running their entire e-commerce site on us across the United States. And so we see a huge variety of applications and solutions across these enterprises using Azure. And when using these solutions, the expectation is to have quite a variety of options to deploy these types of solutions. From a scale-up perspective versus the scale-out of the hyperscale, we have a variety of different sizes that you can choose from, whether it be the A-series to run relatively low-priced, huge scale-out solutions, up to the G, which is actually the most memory available to deploy today, up to 448 gig of memory. And using premium storage, a huge amount of throughput on the disks as well. We've announced 2 more in the last couple months. DV2, which is the next generation of D. This is 35% faster, a much faster chipset than the D series for those workloads. And we've announced plans to release a GPU size called the N series. Don't ask me the naming of the sizes. I won't tell you. No, the N actually short for NVIDIA, so that is kind of a clever one, I guess. These sizes and the deployments across the world come together to offer really a great overall story for enterprises to deploy. But we wouldn't be anywhere without our partners. And Scott talked about it a little bit this morning, but the wide variety of partner solutions that we have available through our marketplace and for you to deploy makes it really easy to get started, whether they be solutions like Cloudera or DataStax for big compute or scale-out data, Things like Trend Micro or McAfee for security solutions. Just a huge variety of options to deploy and get going with your enterprise solution on Azure. And so with that, let me actually run back up here, and just show you a little bit of this and these options available right here in the portal experience. And so if I show you, this is the portal experience, and I've got some things deployed already. But let me show you, if I wanted to come in here and just get started, obviously the new would be a good place to start, and I'll go to compute. And so here, as Scott showed, a wide variety of options. I can click down. Let me actually go into Marketplace and kind of show you what this looks like. And so here I can quickly start with a Hortonworks data platform deployment. I can do an Ubuntu server. I can do Cloudera directly from here. And this Cloudera solution will actually deploy a wide variety of sizes. So I can deploy up to a 30-node Cloudera cluster with just a few clicks right here. And it's amazingly simple to get going. I click in here. Let's pick 14.4 for Ubuntu. And I go right in here, and it's very fast for me to get launched, pick my basics, configure it, and away I go. And so within minutes, I'll have a virtual machine up and running and ready for me to use. Once you've got that up and running, one of the things that we've recently added to make it very easy to manage and debug and solve problems with these virtual machines is our new troubleshooting tools. And so once you've got these VMs up and running, your application is up and running. Here you see I've got these 5 VMs set up. They're running an Nginx front end with a SQL back end. And maybe there's a problem that I've got with these instances. And so in addition to very fast creation, we now have very fast debugging and troubleshooting as well. And so if I click on SQL 1 here, this new section called Investigate. And so you can see here I can choose my audit log, see who's touched this machine. I can check the health of the overall platform based on this machine. But I can also go in and check my diagnostics from a boot perspective. And so here you can see it actually shows me this machine should be up and running. Right? The boot screen is there, and I should be able to log in. But if I go back and click on SQL 2, this one's been acting up a little bit. Click on Boot Diagnostics, and here you'll see actually a... you won't see that here. Okay. Let's go back here and show you what the Nginx looks like. If that machine weren't healthy, it looks like I've actually fixed that machine. If that machine were not healthy, at that point you'd see a failed boot screen and you wouldn't be able to log in. So in this case, on the Linux side, we actually have a full serial output as well. And so you can go in and take a look at all of the configurations and settings that you've got across these virtual machines and be able to determine the health of those machines directly from that portal experience. Let me go back to the slides now. Great. And so the last of these three pillars, these intro pillars to talk about, is hybrid. And hybrid's a really exciting area for us in Azure because we feel like we offer a very distinct solution. So the first aspect of hybrid is connectivity. This is the ability to connect your services on premises into Azure. And what we offer here is a solution called ExpressRoute. What this enables is to do private connectivity from anywhere in the world into the Azure data centers using telcos that you may already be using, or using carrier hotels, someone like Equinix, in setting up shop. It makes it very easy to get very high throughput and secure lines into the Azure data center. But from our perspective, this is really just the beginning of hybrid. It's a pipe, but it's not the full story. And so when we look at hybrid, we look at a wide variety of options and solutions, whether it be storage using a store simple device and using the Azure Cloud for that infrequently used data, or maybe it's backup in DR using the Azure Cloud to host your backups or be a DR site for any virtual machines you may be running or physical machines you may be running on premises. And that DR solution works whether it be Hyper-V, physical machine, or even VMware running in your on-premises environment. You can use SQL Server and use StretchDB. For infrequent data, you can actually have that be stored in the Azure Cloud at a lower price point than perhaps what your local devices would use. And so this enables a data backend for that SQL Server to really reduce those costs and take advantage of the cloud. Identity, having a single identity access point for all your SaaS solutions, for all of your on-prem connectivity solutions, using that same Active Directory identity you may be using today. And then the next two, consistency and cloud management, I'll dig into on the subsequent slide. So you can see from a hybrid story, we do want to tell the whole story. We're not necessarily pushing that you have to deploy in Azure. We want you to deploy where you feel most comfortable, and we want to offer you tools and solutions that are going to make that great. So Azure Stack is a big part of that hybrid story. It is the consistency story that I mentioned. What Azure Stack is we're going to offer the ability to take the deployments that you've made for the public cloud and deploy those same exact solutions into a private or a hosted cloud. We've effectively taken the API, the control layer on the top, and the portal experience, and we've made it so that can deploy into a private environment. So that same SharePoint farm, that 30-node Cloudera cluster, you can do the exact same solutions in both places, which is going to be great. You can use the cloud, let's say, for dev test and set everything up. You can use it for the agile infrastructure, but maybe you're still more comfortable in an on-prem environment for the production deployment for compliance reasons or whatever the reasons may be. And so this solution is going to be really, really powerful to enable that type of usage across multiple environments, whether it be public, private, or hosted clouds. In a similar sort of approach, the Microsoft Operations Management Suite is a management solution coming up with the same concept, which is taking log analytics, the backup story I talked about, the DR story, security, and bringing all of this together into a single pane of glass that can go on a private cloud, hosted cloud, Azure, or even in other clouds. And so with this, you can take a look and see you've got this beautiful dashboard to be able to track the infrastructure and all of the deployments you've got everywhere in the world. Whether they're on-prem, whether they're cloud, you can see it all here. You can see where your backups are. You can see what the security state of your solutions are. You can see any risks that you may have. All of that integrated into this single experience, all backed with that same identity story that is available everywhere. And so when we think of hybrid, it isn't just the pipe. It's really this whole experience, and this is just the beginning. And we're really excited to be able to offer this wide variety of options and solutions in Azure. So you knew there wasn't just three. Obviously, they're hexagons, so there's many more still coming. So three was the initial. I didn't want to ruin the surprise for the rest. Open and flexible. This is one I'm really, really excited about. It's one my team focuses a lot on the Linux deployments in Azure. We're the team actually building out a lot of the Linux solutions. We have such a wide variety of options and technologies that you can deploy in Azure. It's really fun to be able to work with all these partners and in these different communities and learn quite a bit. So just starting from the top, obviously deep integration with Puppet, Chef, Ansible, being able to do all your configuration management. We actually have direct integration into our virtual machines with this. And so you can configure Chef right through the portal, deploy right onto the virtual machine without ever logging on. All of that come fully configurable right there. From an application perspective, we actually announced just last week that the Cloud Foundry support on Azure has reached GA, and Pivotal has launched a preview on top of Azure as well. And so Cloud Foundry is an exciting one. We've seen a lot of pickup on the deployments of Cloud Foundry in Azure. It's very, very exciting. We also, of course, have Prenda support as well on top of Azure. From an application platform perspective, Joomla, WordPress, Drupal, making it really easy to get started from some of our web application side. From an app framework, from a language perspective, Node.js, Python, Java, PHP, all of these supported in our web app product. So you can go in and quickly deploy. I'll actually show you a Node app later today. And then from a database perspective, I already mentioned Cloudera. We have a MongoDB service that you can deploy. Hadoop, we have a fully managed Hadoop service. And then, of course, MySQL you can deploy as well from our templates. And then infrastructure, of course, FreeBSD, but then Linux, and recently announced Red Hat, and then, of course, Docker as well. And so from a Red Hat perspective, it's worth just spending a minute on what this announcement actually entails. It's a really broad announcement and very exciting. With Red Hat, we offer four big pillars. One is integrated support. So with Red Hat on Azure, you now have a co-located support option. So the Red Hat engineers are actually sitting down the hall from my office, working with the engineers at Microsoft to offer a co-located experience, a fully integrated support experience for Red Hat and Microsoft products coming together. It's really first of its class. There's nothing like it today. Very, very fun to work with those guys. .NET integration. So OpenShift will have .NET integration built into it, and so you'll be able to deploy .NET apps on top of the Linux solution that they've got for a platform as a service. Hybrid. Obviously, the support on top of Azure and the ability to take Red Hat products and bring it into Azure, which we'll be announcing very soon, actually. But the other part of the hybrid support, Windows Server, is going to be supported on top of Red Hat's OpenStack product. And so we will actually be bringing the products across each other to support that full end-to-end story. And then management tooling, CloudForms, the Red Hat management solution, will be able to manage both System Center and Azure. So an incredibly comprehensive offering with Red Hat and Microsoft coming together. Similar story that we've got with Docker. Very exciting. We're seeing a lot of interest and growth in Docker. It's enabling huge amount of new application thought throughout the overall ecosystem. One, fast and agile startup. These Docker containers start extremely fast, and we're seeing that become a really exciting way to think about new application development. It takes very simple dev to production solutions, and the orchestration support that we've got on top of Azure, both Kubernetes and Mesos, you can deploy and manage your Docker containers directly on Azure. I'll talk a little bit more about microservices later. But on Azure, we also have completely integrated Docker solutions. So you can deploy a VM with Docker pre-installed and actually configure the full Docker containers all through the portal experience. And so it's very easy to get started and learn more about Docker if you're in that stage. Or you can get started and go deploy broadly if you're in a later stage in your knowledge on Docker. So it should be a lot of fun. And we're seeing a lot of interest in this as new applications start using it. And as this grows, what we're starting to see is the need for additional management support of these new containers. And so one of the other announcements that we've made is the Azure Container Service. So as the amount of Docker containers grow and they get larger and more common, the need to be able to manage that many across multiple environments has become paramount. And so with the Azure Container Service, which we announced, this is going to streamline the provisioning of an Apache Mesos cluster in Azure. So we're using Apache Mesos, a fully open source solution, as our container service, and we'll layer on top of it Swarm, Marathon, and Kronos for very easy deployment across any of those interfaces, all of which are open source. And so we'll have this single tooling and API experience to deploy your containers all in Azure. Very easy, and of course, we'll span that multi-cloud solution as well. Very, very exciting. So from an open and flexible perspective, I shift straight into developer and IT productivity. And here, we think through a wide variety of solutions. And this is really offering both simple deployment for IT pro and system administrators, but also very simple development to be able to start and get going really quickly. And I'm going to show you both. We really focus on integration across a wide variety of tools here, Visual Studio, GitHub, Eclipse, Chef and Puppet, as I mentioned, and of course, PowerShell. All of this starts with some of the framework that we built in Azure to make it easy to deploy these resources all together. So the Azure Resource Manager is a JSON-based template language that allow you to deploy many, many resources all together. So it comes in, you draft up your JSON template, it can deploy websites, it can deploy SQL databases. It can deploy VMs and actually install SQL Server on them. You can deploy VMs with Ubuntu and install on top of them. So the wide range of offers to be able to deploy all of this in a single template and coordinate that deployment. So if you want to say VM has to start first, then website, then SQL DB, you can make that ordering happen very easily through the template language. It also enables custom tagging. So you can go in, you can add tags, you can make sure those tags propagate all the way through the build. And so this single API will enable all these resources to deploy and then also allow you to track the tags all the way through those resources for you to be able to monitor usage and maybe do chargeback, showback, or just track what's happening. And with that, let me actually switch over and show you a little bit of what we've done here from a template language perspective. Okay. So what I'm going to do starting here is first I'm going to just go to the azure.com landing page. And from here, obviously lots of content, flashing lights, etc. Let me go over here and go to resources and go to templates. And so this is a new section we recently added. And what this is we call it the Quick Start Templates. This is a set of templates that will allow you to get going really easily and configure and deploy however you want. They're also pulling directly from GitHub. So these are, most of these, if not all of these, are built by third parties that have tried things out and devised the ideas of how to deploy their application. And so you can see the names of the person deployed. And so here I see simple VM scale set with Windows VM and a jump box. And so you can go in here and search for things. And so let me search for SharePoint in here. And so here you can see I have a HA SharePoint deployment. So this template will deploy a 9-VM SharePoint farm for you. I also have a 3-VM SharePoint deployment. Right? And so I can click in here and take a look, and it will actually explain to me the parameters that are set up. And so here are all the parameters that I can configure as part of this that were written by the author of this template. Let me actually go back and let me do something like Elasticsearch. Let me just search for Elastic. Install Elastic Cluster on virtual machines. Similar sort of idea. And so here, this little button that says Learn More on GitHub, let me actually open this up. And so this template is exposed directly in GitHub. So you can go in, you can actually read through the JSON file, you can learn what this is, why it's there, how it was built. And you go back here to the Quick Start Templates in GitHub, and you can see a wide variety of different solutions available here, and a huge amount, actually more than 200 now, templates that you can get started with. From simple things like just a VNet to VNet template to create just simple connectivity, or things a little bit more specific, DataStax Enterprise, and being able to deploy that. And so these are built a wide variety. You can go in, click in, and learn about them. And then if I go back to this page, I can also deploy them directly into my portal experience. And so if I click Deploy to Azure, it'll pull that template in, log me in straight into the portal experience, and actually show me the template that's being considered here. And so just like that, I've got custom deployment ready, and it now parameterizes the options that are listed in the template. And so this is a great way. You could share your template with colleagues. They can then go click on it and get it deployed directly into their environment with the parameters that you've set up or you've defined as part of the template you've built. And I can even, if I want to, go in here and edit the template directly. Maybe I want a little change in it. I can go in and there's actually a JSON-based template editor directly into the portal experience, making this really, really easy. Now, I typically use Notepad++ to make a lot of the edits to my template, but you can also go in and we've got this integrated directly into Visual Studio. So if you're using Visual Studio and particularly like it, you can go in and say new. If I can get this. Uh-oh. Jeez. Okay. Whew. Made it. You go in new project, and with the new SDK, there's actually an Azure resource group available here for you to click on. And so if I click on this, then I've got a bunch of options that I can use. I mentioned Docker before, so I'll actually pick the Docker on Ubuntu server. And so this is pulling in this template, this pre-created template for me. And I can go and click on it. And so here it is available. And what I've got over here, the JSON outline, I can actually go and say, great, what's my NIC setup look like? And here it will go in and it will highlight it for me. So I can see this is the NIC portion of my template or the virtual machine portion. Here's the Docker extension that's running. And so this is actually what's setting up the Docker images that are going to deploy on it, all available right here in Visual Studio for you to go play with, really easy to go use. Great. Let's go back to the slides here. And so this Azure Resource Manager ends up being, like I said, sort of the cornerstone of the entire API set. It ends up being the primary entry point for all the solutions. And once you've deployed through this, now we have a wide variety of development options for you to actually get rolling on. So a great example of this is the app service. So today, or previously, we had a set of different development solutions available in Azure. You could deploy a website. You could deploy a mobile service. You could deploy a BizTalk service. And what this would do is you could deploy each one. They didn't really actually work together, and they ended up requiring you to sort of build solutions across all three. So what we've recently made available is the Azure App Service. What this does, it puts all those components together and creates a single offer. So this is really a developer-focused offer. It's an integrated offer across all of those services, and it allows you to build intelligent web and mobile apps, because frequently they go hand in hand. You built a web app, and then you've got a mobile app that you want to sit side by side with it, or an API solution that sits with it as well. And this will scale as your business grows, enabling it really easy for you to build and scale out as necessary. So the app service consists of four really big parts. Web apps, which allows you to build web solutions, and I'll actually demo that and show you that in a little bit, across a wide variety of languages. Mobile apps, now this is a really fantastic solution. It allows you to build mobile solutions that will run on any device. So iOS, Android, Windows Phone, all of these devices will support mobile-based applications. It simplifies data management for those devices and also creates a single push notification for any device that you may be using. It also runs across a wide variety of different programming languages. Then there's Logic Apps. Logic Apps is a very simple, a visual experience that allows you to build workflows. Business automation, to be able to manage solutions that are going to run through a set of either first or third-party technologies. So a great example of this, you may want to use Twitter and take a Twitter feed and be able to do a sentiment analysis to say whether it's positive or negative, and then take an action based on that. Send me an email. And so it's very visual. You can go build it, and you can get that all configured by clicking and dragging a bunch of boxes. Let's say, for example, you wanted to do a Twitter analysis on the positive feedback that I've received for this session. And for each one of those, send them to Scott Guthrie and say, Scott, Corey did better than you in a session. And so if that may be something that you want to line up, you know, please feel free. That's my Twitter handle, so we'll get that. That is set up. Okay, so please feel free to tweet whatever you want. I will ignore the negative comments. Just kidding. The fourth one here is API apps. And what this does is it enables it very easy for you to configure an API-focused solution. So let's say you want to build an app that exposes an API to your partners or to your customers that they're going to call into. What this does is it simplifies the creation of that app. You can automate and generate the SDKs for that API based on a wide variety of languages so that they can write to it. You can also track and secure the API. So based on who's calling it, you can make sure specific people call it and call it with the right credentials. And so with the four of these combined, you've really got a wide variety of development solutions that will come together to build the app that you're looking to build. And so with that, with web apps specifically, and I'll show you a demo here in a minute, you can write across a wide variety of languages, .NET, Node.js, Java, PHP, and Python, really trying to offer that choice of different development solutions you want. For web jobs, you can configure that to do long-running tasks that you may not want as part of your actual website. It will automatically load balance, it'll automatically scale, and you can configure geo-replication for a DR story. It even will configure into that same network that I talked about before, that hybrid network, allowing you to build line-of-business apps with it as well that maybe point internally versus externally. And so with that, let me actually show you a little bit of the app service. And so we're back here in my portal experience, and I'm going to go new, and I'm going to go web and mobile. And so instead of compute, this is the app service section. And so you can see here, web app, mobile app, API app, logic app, all of it very easy for me to configure and get going. I'm actually going to hit web app. And so with this, I pick just a few parameters. Let me say decoded. Okay. And I'm going to create a new resource group. Okay. And let's go ahead and create. And so while this is creating, let me actually go back and show you some of these other options here. So while this is creating, you can see down here, if I scroll down to the bottom, in addition to just the vanilla solution that I just built, which is going to be a website that I'll actually configure a node solution on, Here you can see you can configure a WordPress solution with just a few clicks, or a Joomla solution. So whatever your content management system may be, you can click very quickly and deploy right from this portal experience. And so just with a few clicks, I can even go in here and configure something. So if I click on Joomla, you can see here it gives me a few options. It'll configure the MySQL service that I want, and away I go. So it looks like my web app is up, and so I'll click on it here. And so right here on the right, you can see all of the options I have. I can look at the properties, the settings. Here, I can go, this was a web app, but I can go in and I can configure the mobile settings as well. So if this is a single app that's going to be both web and mobile, I can bring them together in this same experience. For now, I want to do continuous deployment. I'm going to configure the source. And I pick GitHub. And you can see here, I've got, can do Visual Studio Online, OneDrive, Bitbucket, Dropbox, but I'm going to actually use GitHub. It should already have my parameters, but it would ask me for parameters otherwise, and there it is. And so let me actually configure the project that I want. And so I'm going to pick Node Hello and hit OK. And so that should start going there. What I've done here is I actually have right here in GitHub, in my own private GitHub, I've got Node Hello available, and so it found that by searching through my credentials, and it found Node Hello available. And you can see here, all this is really doing is it's basically printing a little page that says, "Hello, Future Decoded, my favorite color is red." And that'll be the whole website, and it should deploy that. And let's actually go back here and see. So it automatically pulled, so it started fetching from GitHub. It says pending. Ignore the clock, it's still Seattle time, so it's not actually 5:46 a.m. obviously. And so this is pulling directly from GitHub by me connecting to it from this site. And so while that's coming up, let me actually go click on the actual website. And there it is. So it's up and running. It's pulled from GitHub, right? And it now says, "Hello, Future Decoded. My favorite color is red." And so the nice thing about this is that it is, I said, continuous deployment, right? So in this case, I've detected two bugs in this. And so I want to go fix those bugs. So I'm going to actually go in here and edit this. And so here you'll see I actually spelled these wrong. So let me add a U there and a U there. Is that right? Yes. Okay. And I can go and just commit these changes. And so I just changed GitHub. It's the only edit that I made. And I changed by adding the U's to the two words that were spelled incorrectly. And I go back over here. And I should see this pop up directly as part of the continuous deployment that a change has happened. Just make sure I did submit that change, didn't I? Great, I did. Let's see here. And so with this, we should see a change pop up here. Let's see. Where was it? Continuous deployment. Oh, there we go. And so, it's already done. Huh. So it noticed a change, and then it made an update. And so I go right here, and it should have fixed it. And so there you see it did fix it. It did the continuous deployment directly from there, and away I go. And so very, very simple, very easy to configure, again, a GitHub solution with the code that you've got directly to deploy into an app service. Excellent. All right, back to the slides, please. So beyond the app service solution, I mentioned a little bit earlier that we're starting to see a new shift in application development. As folks move towards using the agile infrastructure available in the cloud, we're seeing new concepts around application solutions. So today, or previously, most of the applications written were really tied to hardware. Hardware ended up being king because it was so expensive and took so long to provision that apps were written to use the full piece of hardware. It's going to completely consume everything on that hardware. And we saw these monolithic applications be built in these three-tier type architectures. Problem is that these ended up being very tightly coupled. They started using tricks on the local boxes to be able to take advantage and get high performance. They're fragile. They're very, very hard to make changes to without breaking. And they really have trouble scaling. When you scale these out, let's say you want to scale your front end out, you need to start thinking about a cache layer. So you build your web layer, you have to start scaling it out. Now you build a cache layer in between. Then maybe you want to do multiple backends, or your actual data is filled up. And now you have to start thinking about how you need to partition your data in the backend. And so it becomes very, very tricky to start scaling and updating these without risking the application. So this is where sort of a new paradigm has started to come up. With the cloud, the infrastructure has become very agile. You can deploy quickly and fast, and it's enabled the microservice-based paradigm to start becoming available, where now those three-tier applications can be split into what we're calling microservices, or smaller chunks of compute. Each one of these end up being a very isolated, independent part of the solution that have well-defined contracts between them. What that means is they start becoming loosely coupled. So you can change each one individually. You can update each one individually without impacting any of the other parts of the microservice. You can even scale them independently, which is very critical for applications to be able to scale each portion uniquely. And then the data can be partitioned independently. And so, as I mentioned before, we already have a bunch of services available on Azure from partners to be able to deploy in this microservice way. Cloud Foundry is a great example for being able to deploy this type of solution. We do have one that we are releasing very soon that we built from Microsoft called Service Fabric. And what Service Fabric does is it's basically a platform to enable that type of approach to microservice-based development. It manages deployment, so it will find the infrastructure that's available based on the policies that you've set and will deploy to it. It manages scaling for you, so it will scale out and even scale back as necessary in an automated way across that infrastructure that you've set aside for Service Fabric. It enables rolling updates, so you'll configure an update and you'll configure a health mechanism to be able to call back from that update, and it will roll out or even roll back as you choose. And then finally, and somewhat uniquely, it also is a stateful service, if you want it, enabling automatic partitioning and replication. So you can go in and configure your partitions how you want to lay them out, which becomes very, very critical for this type of application model to be able to take advantage of the hardware and then also scale independently by enabling the partitions to be close to compute and scale accordingly. And it automatically will do replication based on how many replicas you want. And so all of that will be taken care of for you on the infrastructure laid out. So like I said, we have a public preview coming of this very, very soon. So stay tuned. But it is definitely a different approach to developing to take advantage of that underlying infrastructure. Okay. The very last section that I wanted to touch upon and really focus on was trustworthy. And this is something that we take a lot of pride in, especially as we think about the enterprise-proven aspect of the cloud and the ability to run in all these different regions. Having all the compliances that line up with that is incredibly critical. And so we are proud to have more compliances than any other cloud, and we're excited to have a wide variety that's going to meet, hopefully, the needs of most of the local regions as well. And so for the remaining time, I'm going to go through each one of these one by one and explain them. No, I'm not. Okay. That time you could have cursed at me. What I am going to do is actually explain some of the interesting security features and capabilities that we have under the covers that make us able to achieve some of these compliances. So one is Key Vault, which is really the secret management solution that we've got in Azure. It's tied in with Active Directory. So Azure Active Directory is, of course, the access point for any of the secrets and security solutions that we've got. It enables an HSM-protected solution, or you can choose to be non-HSM. For maybe your dev test environment, maybe you don't want to spend the time or the money dealing with an HSM, it can do both. The key thing is that it scales with your app, though. You don't have to worry about the HSM being your single point of failure for scaling. It will scale with your app as it's used more and more. It does disk encryption. So we do have a solution that will enable you to do disk encryption using Key Vault. We've also enabled SQL encryption with this. So you can configure a SQL-based encryption, TDE, that will then use the Key Vault secrets in the back end. And so it enables both putting secrets in, but also keys in, and then doing asymmetric-based analysis of those keys as required. Very, very exciting. And sort of the backbone of a lot of the security that we've got in Azure. A capability that we have not yet released, but we've announced, which ties a lot of these security concepts together, is the Azure Security Center. What the Azure Security Center does is it allows you to define policy for how you want your environment to be configured. So a great example is you want to say, I want no public endpoints exposed on any of my instances that are deployed. And that's actually a very common one. Our IT department has enforced that as well. And what this will do, because the cloud is so dynamic and so agile, it may be hard sometimes to say, well, I'm keeping an eye on everybody. Well, if someone in your organization opens up a VM that has a public endpoint and you've got this policy set, this will alert. It will pop up and say, whoa, we got someone breaking policy. Is that okay? And it will leave it up to you to go decide whether that's okay. But based on the policy that you've set, it will do that alert. And so it gives you that visibility and that control to be able to manage your environment and manage your deployments that you've got in Azure. It's fully integrated, of course, with our monitoring solution. And so it will actually detect other and pop in the portal, like the indication that I saw in the portal when my website was done. Similar sort of experience that will pop for when the security center has notified a problem. The other aspect of this that's really exciting, it takes advantage of all of the knowledge that we have in Azure around security threats throughout the world. So if there is an IP address that happens to be attacking someone else, some other site somewhere else, perhaps an IP address that's attacking Xbox, or perhaps an IP address attacking Office 365, we will use that knowledge and use actually an Azure ML solution in the back end to be able to predict where that might be a problem for you and then alert you. Hey, this IP address was attacking someone else. It's now trying to log into your site. Maybe you want to block him. It seems like he may be a bad guy. And so the idea is, how do we take all of that knowledge that we've got globally and apply it to you locally that really makes sense for your application and what you're doing? It also works with a wide ecosystem of solutions to be able to deploy directly into your environment. So you may say, my policy is, I need a web application firewall in front of anything deployed in Azure. This will then say, well, great, we've got a bunch. Just click deploy, and we'll launch it for you. And so it makes it very easy to configure and control all those aspects. And to give you kind of a view of what this looks like, right here you can see sort of a view of what the Security Center will look like. It has a set of alerts, and so high severity alerts, medium severity, and you can go in and click through them and decide what you want to do with them. And so an example here, again, as I mentioned, I want to add a web application firewall, and that is perhaps one of the policy points that's been called out. You can do a wide set of them here to be able to configure all of these, again, based on the policy that you want. And so security groups, network security, access controls, all of those can be configured as part of this. So we'll actually be announcing public preview this very soon, and so very, very interesting solution to be made available. Okay. And the sort of the last point of trust, as I mentioned, Azure Active Directory ends up being the cornerstone of a lot of the security solutions that we've got. It ends up offering the access control for solutions like EMS or Office 365. So if you're locking down devices or you're locking down access to different document solutions, it's the same Azure Active Directory that's used to log into the Azure experience. And with this, we've recently added control for role-based access control. So using that same Azure Resource Manager template I mentioned before, you can actually lock down access to specific APIs or specific operations that you may not want. So you can say owner, contributor, they can make all the changes they want, but perhaps a read-only role for specific folks who maybe you don't want to be able to edit those types of deployments. Maybe your production wants to be different from your dev test environment. And so you can control that, and again, it's fully federated and it's fully locked down using that same Active Directory solution you've got in your on-premise environment. So someone leaves your company, let's say after doing a terrible talk, you want to fire someone, then you can get them out of your company. They will lose access to all of the environments that you have, and so it will pull, let's say, Corey Sanders here out as part of that in your on-prem environment. It will federate into the public cloud environment as well and pull it out everywhere. And so this same Active Directory experience that's available on-prem, federated with the public cloud to make a single Azure Active Directory solution everywhere. And so with that, the overall focus on the cloud, being able to deploy from a hybrid environment, being able to deploy solutions that span on-prem, private, hosted cloud, being able to deploy in a hyperscale way with the 28 regions, now two recently announced in the UK and two in Germany, but being able to deploy across all 28 wherever your solution may need to be. The enterprise-grade aspect of it, offering the largest variety of different sizes to be able to deploy and configure, and of course very large and very small to meet whatever sort of solution you're looking to deploy. And as I mentioned, the open solutions, the wide variety and the different choices that we have with the recently announced Red Hat, adding to that set, and of course the GA of Cloud Foundry as well. From a developer perspective, very easy to get started, very easy to deploy using App Service, and of course the future development models that we've got coming from Service Fabric as well. And of course, trustworthy, being able to deploy in a very secure and a trusted environment, being able to feel confident and comfortable that the public cloud is being protected in the ways that you want it to be protected. So overall, very exciting, globally proven across those 28 regions, but of course now, soon to be locally available, but obviously locally available in any one of those given regions. And so that's Azure, that's the Intelligent Cloud, and thank you so much for your time. Hopefully you enjoy the rest of your day, and thank you. Bye-bye.